Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We were asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, because Lamar stumbled on Thursday Night Football, who's going to be the MVP? I had him as my MVP, so did Key. For me, it was by a little bit. Maybe it's Tom Brady right now, but let's see how Brady and Stafford and everyone plays in Week 10. So who's going to be the MVP favorite after Week 10? 888-SAY-ESPN. So it did start last night, Week 10 on Thursday Night Football. Lamar was sacked four times. Xavien Howard had a scoop and a score and a scoop and score, and the Dolphins, you know, stunned the Ravens 22-10 on Thursday Night Football. Here is head coach John Harbaugh taking blame for the loss.
Bottom line is this falls squarely on me as the head coach. We were not prepared the way we need to be prepared. Our schemes weren't up to snuff, and we weren't prepared to execute the way we needed to. So that's it. Not on one player. Our players played their hearts out. They worked hard all week. They did everything they could to be prepared, and we just weren't ready. That's on me.
Now, Dominique Foxworth said earlier in the week that injuries are going to catch up to the Ravens, and that's why Lamar won't win MVP. To me, that's short week. You played in overtime. You're on the road. Lamar's going to be distracted by homecoming type stuff. So, but with Lamar stumbling, who's going to take advantage and be the MVP favorite? Key, Tom Brady is the odds-on favorite at plus 350. Then Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
get that either.
Me either.
That's people holding on to their pre-season picks.
Gotta be.
Kyler Murray's after him. Then Stafford. Then Rodgers. I do think the fact that Rodgers was misleading about being vaccinated and then missed the game is going to... You don't think that's going to hurt him in the voting?
I don't know, man.
He missed the game.
Yeah, but what if one of these other guys... What if Kyler Murray's missed the game?
Yep, that's why I put... Dak Prescott
missed the game.
Yep, I knock all those guys down a little bit.
And then Brady clinches. He may miss a game.
But it's different if you miss a game after you already locked up the number one seed.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true.
So I would have Brady right now as the favorite. I would not have Josh Allen.
Josh Allen wouldn't be nowhere near these dudes. Matthew Stafford Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott is kind of under Brady and Kyler Murray. Josh Allen would be in front of Ryan Tannehill or something like that.
I would put Brady or Stafford one right now.
Stafford's got to show me what he's going to do on Monday night.
No doubt.
You got the world right now watching on Monday night, right?
Yep.
So we'll all be zoomed in on Monday night, watching him against the Niners. And we just saw what Ryan Tannehill did to the Niners. And wait, no.
Niners been stumbling recently.
Yeah, and they've been stumbling. Yeah. So we got a chance to not Tannehill, I'm sorry.
Who just went in?
Carson Wentz went in there and took care of business in the rain. And then Colt McCoy went in there and did the same thing with the team. So he should have opportunity to really flourish.
Good point. There's a lot of downside for Stafford there. Like, if you win, you're supposed to win, even though it's a divisional game and all that.
Yeah,
but if
you
lose,
you
got to ball.
You got to ball out because the world is watching.
And so right, we got to wait to see a Stafford. But by the way, Brady's not coming off his best couple of weeks, and then he had a bye, right? So, like, we got to see what Brady does.
No, he had a bye, but the loss – I don't think he played bad, though, did he?
Not bad, but he was playing at a ridiculous clip. Wait,
who did they lose to?
I got to look up the schedule now.
I forgot who they lost to. I know they lost and they had a bye and they're coming back, but I don't remember him playing bad in that football game.
I don't think he's played bad this year, period, you know? But I would say that he had come down off a certain standard that he was playing. They lost to the Saints.
The Saints.
That's right. They lost to the Saints, who seemed to have their number. They beat the hell out of the Bears before that. It does, doesn't it?
But see, he got a lot of juice build up from week one.
Brady.
Yeah, he carried that all the way into the loss for the Saints because how he was able to come back with a minute 24, vintage Brady. So people are like, oh, you know, don't give him 10 seconds. He getting ready to do you. And that's that build up.
Yep. Brady, Stafford, and to me, right now at this moment, Kyler missed the game. I'm knocking him down. Rodgers missed the game. I'm knocking him down. The guys I have at the tippy top right now, I'd have Brady, Stafford, Lamar third. I'm not going to knock Lamar all the way out from one bad short week performance.
See, I would go Brady, Kyler, Stafford, Lamar, Dak.
Damn, you're really like. At least Lamar played on the short week. Kyler wasn't there.
Yeah, but Kyler I look at just everything he be doing, man. It's just His team is number one in the conference. And
know who he's playing like? Lamar Jackson. He's playing like Lamar.
Yeah, but his stuff is just the way he delivers the football, man, is impressive.
When you look, you're
it's impressive.
I hear you sometimes and I watch you sometimes. I watch you watch.
Don't watch me.
Watch TV. But I see your react. Key, it's hard not to because you make a lot of noise while you're watching. So I'm looking at your reaction, and when you see a receiver get a ball just right,
you do that.
You do that. So what is it about Kyler when you watch him, you're like, oh, that's perfect.
Remember when he threw the ball to Zach Ertz and over the seam? It was a seam route. Zach Ertz had just got to
his
the Cardinals.
First game there. Yep.
First game, bam. In stride, over the linebacker, in the hole, right where it needed to be. He didn't break stride. And I'm sure Zach Ertz, coming from Jalen Hurts, who's learning how to play position, he was like, man, I just died and went to heaven. That's what you want to see. Or the incomplete pass to A.J. Green at the end of the game. That was a perfectly
perfect.
We don't need it no better now.
Only the defender can
all
make
you
got to
do is turn your head. If you turn your head and reach your hands out, that thing going to stick to them gloves, six-pack.
And the defender has no shot on the ball.
Or third and a million in the turkey hole to the 3-yard line to A.J. Green on third and a million, a laser frozen rope.
What's a turkey hole?
It's like between the safety and the corner. You know, the turkey hole, the like a turkey, you know, the where you stuff the stuff at. Yeah,
yes. Up in there,
they call it the turkey hole.
The turkey hole. That's where you put the stuffing. A little empty space there.
Yeah, it's a huge cavity. And he threw it on a frozen rope. And that's just baseball throw. I like him. People think I don't like him. No, I don't like the system, but I like him.
What if the air raid turns out to be that's the best way to do it going forward?
Then you'll see 20 teams trying to run it.
Would you be sad about the world changing in that way?
No. Then that would be they own to something at that point, man.
Yeah, right.
That means they're on to something. Everybody tried the greatest show on turf. It didn't work out for everybody, right? Everybody tried Tampa too. But they couldn't do it the way we did it because we had the Derrick Brookses and the Rondé Barbers and the Brian Kellys and the Warren Sapps and the Simeon Rices and the Booger McFarlands.
But
we
the West
had
Coast
and the Johnny
offense,
Lynches.
But the West Coast stuck.
The West Coast
the timing offense that Bill Walsh was doing and everything, that's stuck.
Sideline to sideline stuff. They can keep that.
You see, this is what I'm talking about. There are some people. But it's certain, Bill Parcells, man.
Certain people.
Yeah.
Call it different. We ran some of the same stuff, but we called it different. When John Gruden was calling the West Coast, it's just like 2 yards in a cloud of dust and we're throwing. We might as well just run the damn ball.
Yeah, for that, why take the risk?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, but Jerry Rice and them, when they dialed it up, they dialed Bill Walsh dialed it up the way it needed to be dialed up. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it, it's like, it looks different.
And also, if you have Joe Montana.
Mike Holmgren dialed it up differently. It looked different.
So, all right, Dennis in Delaware has an MVP candidate that we haven't talked much about when it comes to being an MVP, at least not today. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, after week 7, Dak Prescott was favored to win the MVP, and the Cowboys were the number one offense in the NFL. Okay, so he missed the game with the injury, and then he had a bad game off the injury. But I think this week against Atlanta at home, he's going to put up some big numbers. And then next week in Kansas City, big numbers. And then Thanksgiving Day against the Raiders, big numbers. I think Dak is going to jump right back.
How do you justify, Dennis?
MVP.
Dennis, how do you justify, same thing with Key, how do you guys justify other guys right there with your favorite guy, let's say, but your guy misses a full game and the other guy, like Brady has played in every game.
No,
Stafford has played in every game.
But I'm not saying Brady is.
With the 17-game schedule, I think, you know, it's okay to miss one game, you know, and still be an MVP with
right.
the 17-game schedule.
You got a rationale.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Brady's not there. He's there today based on what happened to Lamar last night.
Yeah.
So he moves in front of Lamar.
Agreed.
Kyler gets pushed up. Matthew Stafford gets pushed up until we see him on Monday. He can go up higher or he can go down.
Yeah, you know Stafford's leading he hasn't missed a game and he's leading the league in QBR by a lot. But not by a little, by a lot.
I understand that, but my eyeball test tells me at times some stuff could get away from him and it don't look as clean as the numbers say. When you look at it, it could be like, ooh, he almost gave that to the other team.
Do you think that he has, that Stafford has, like Brady throws a catchable ball, right? Stafford has a great arm, but do you think he throws, when I say arm talent, I just don't mean can you thread the needle, do you have a big arm, but do you throw the ball in a way that falls into the receiver's hands? That's Stafford.
He's very accurate. He's got some zip on the ball. He's impressive this year with the talent. There's no question about it. But it's also sometimes in some games, is ones that, especially that they lost. When you look at like the Arizona game or the Tennessee game, it's like,
oh wait, come on, you man. Just answered my question for me. That's why, because you saw Kyler and Stafford go head to head, and Kyler was the best player on the field.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's hard. I agree with that. That is hard to get out of your mind. And in a 17 game season, Dennis makes a good point. Dennis from Delaware, you got to discount missing a game a little bit. Because you got more games. So if two dudes go head-to-head and clearly one dude is the best player on the field, it's tough to put the other dude ahead of him. I understand that. I can see that. But Brady hasn't been in that position, so he's number one.
Well, he was in a position earlier in the year with Stafford. The Bucks played the Rams early in the year.
Very early. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Today we're celebrating Disney Plus Day. Disney Plus is great. With the premiere of new originals, blockbuster hits, beloved library titles, and unique specials from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. I just love this as a consumer. I mean, I love it as a consumer. Get 1 month of Disney Plus for $1.99, $1.99, now until November 14, and celebrate the stories you love. Find out more at DisneyPlus.com.
There's a lot of upside for the Panthers with making this decision. I'm curious to see how it's going to work out. I'm curious to see just how much Cam Newton is going to be capable of doing. At the very least, he can give you more competent quarterback play than what we've seen from Sam Darnold over the last month.
So funny. When you hear everybody now talk about Cam, watch how everybody just going to be gone, Cam Newton. Because the Panthers admitted a mistake to a degree. And basically told all of us out there in the world that he was hurt is the reason we moved on. They didn't say he couldn't play football anymore. They said he was hurt, so we had to move on based on his injury. So now everybody is going to be jumping up and down for Cam and on his bandwagon. You watch what I tell you, Max.
I got receipts. I never got off the Cam bandwagon. I felt like I've been pulling it. Torrey Smith joins on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Torrey.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, good. You played with Cam in Carolina. How surprised are you, or what do you think about the fact that he's back with the Panthers?
I love the fact that he's back with the Panthers. You know, it's something I didn't expect. I was definitely having a good old time trolling on Twitter a little bit. I have a lot of love and respect for the Carolina Panthers organization, but I'm a person that believes when teams say, hey, we want to get better, like you need to have the evidence to show it. And so they had the opportunity to sign the best quarterback that was available on the market. That was Cam Newton. And they didn't do it initially. They did it on the back end. So I have to give them their credit when it's due. And also acknowledge that this also wasn't a normal signing. You know, I heard you guys talking about it when it's almost like you're admitting a mistake. I'm not going to say they're necessarily admitting a mistake because I understand this business and the way it works. But to go back to someone who you have moved on from, that's as big of a figure as Cam Newton. That's not as simple as signing Matt Barkley. So I understand that. I'm glad that it happened, and I think Cam's going to do a great job.
See, T. Smith, the reason why I say it's a mistake, it was a mistake because the reason that you moved on from him, it wasn't because of his ability to be the quarterback of your team. You told us, it was finally told us you moved on because he was injured. You left it open-ended when you moved on from him to make us all think that he can't play football anymore, even though you and I, we knew he could play. But the word out there in the universe of the National Football League was they moved on from him because he couldn't play. They moved on from him because he was hurt and he had a salary due of $20+ million. That's the only reason why I say they did it that way.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. You know, it was a business decision. And, you know, I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to play, you know, those 8 years, but I also had the opportunity to play with Steve Smith Sr., you know, the legendary Carolina Panther, because of the nature of the business, right? So, yeah, I know that these things do happen with Cam Newton. He was hurt, battling some injuries those past two seasons, and he was also getting paid, you know, a hefty amount of money. So with David Tepper coming in, you know, I know it was a situation for him to say, hey, you know, we're going to hit the reset button. You know, let's do it now. You know, if he's not his healthy self. So I understand that part when it comes to the business side of football, right? But the reality of it is, you said it, and I know it, that Cam Newton can still play. I think the environment plays a factor in that. I don't think New England is the best situation, even though that's the last we've seen them. I don't think you can use that to say, hey, Cam Newton doesn't have it anymore. Why? Because the quarterback position, more so than any other position, relies on its supporting cast. Cam had been so used to literally being called Superman because of the way he was playing and putting the team on his back, but every quarterback doesn't play that way forever. So in New England, the environment wasn't necessarily there. The running game wasn't as strong as it's been. The weapons around him wasn't as strong as it's been. If you need proof, the Coach Belichick went out and brought in everyone and their mom to help revamp that core for their now the future of their franchise in Mac Jones. So I think your environment matters. Now he gets to head back home to Carolina. Yeah, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, a healthy Christian McCaffrey. That's a great situation for Cam Newton to come back. And we have to be realistic, too, when we're talking about what to expect from him. It's not plug and play like it is for a wide receiver signing them off the street. He has to learn a brand new offense. He has to get comfortable within that offense. But their salary says that, hey, we're paying you to play. So will he be ready this week? Doubt it. Will he be ready next week? Possibly. But this is something that I think is going to play out over the next couple of weeks. Well, we'll have the opportunity to see, you know, who Cam Newton is, and I think he's going to shine.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing you bring up next week. Next week, he goes up against the Washington football team and his old coach, Ron Rivera. So that'll be an interesting little tidbit nugget to continue to keep watching. You spoke about wide receivers being able to just plug and play. OBJ goes to the Rams. What do you think he'll bring to the Rams, Torrey, in terms of his versatility and some of the things, if healthy, that he could do?
I think he's just another weapon. You know, first of all, Cooper Kupp made me look like the best GM in fantasy world by drafting him. I knew early on him and Matthew Stafford were going to kill it this year. But to be honest, there aren't that many targets to go around after Robert Woods, right? So you have two guys that are heavily involved in this offense. And even, you know, Van Jefferson has a solid role as well. But this is something where I think he could be more streaky. You know, we saw what happened with DeSean Jackson and the opportunities that he had, right? He took advantage of big-time players when they presented themselves, but it wasn't a situation where he was getting the ball, you know, 10 times a game. You know, I think they're going to have opportunities to get him the ball, and I think Odell's comfortable with that. You know, you have to realize this is the first time Odell was able to pick where he wanted to go since he was a senior in high school and committed to LSU. So he had the opportunity to choose this place. So by him choosing Los Angeles over the Packers, that tells me that is not necessarily just about opportunities and targets and getting the volume. He would have had that opportunity in Green Bay, a better opportunity. I think it's about him feeling like he can win and also potentially be in a position to find a home for the next few years, because the more stable quarterback position is in Los Angeles versus Green Bay. However, the best situation to win right now is in Green Bay for him as an individual, if he wanted to do a one-year deal and move on. So I think he was thinking more so down the road. I love Matthew Stafford. I think he's always been an underrated quarterback since he's been in the league. I think he was just trapped in Detroit. And I think it's a great situation for Odell to really just blend in. And guess what? It's not going to be any drama in LA that's used to the big media. And I think it makes a lot of sense for him.
Oh, that's such a great point Torrey Smith just made here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Right. This was not a situation like where Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback for the Rams. Their defense was also playing well, and he wasn't going anywhere, and he was 32 years old, not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. Slam dunk, go to the Rams. This was a situation where every team had their pros and cons. And, Torrey, I was looking at the choice of the Rams. I thought it was a great choice, but something less than Brady's choice where, man, that was a purely football decision he made. He's trying to win a Super Bowl. Because I thought maybe the Packers gave him the very best chance at this moment. What you're saying is it's not just about this moment. He's making a football choice. Well, let me ask you this. Is that overall the best football choice for Odell, the Rams, considering everything you said?
I think so. You know, I think at this point in his career, Odell's made a solid chunk of money now. I'm not trying to count another man's pocket. But I think he knows that if he can play well in L.A., a market where he's there in the offseason anyway, right? Like, he lives out there in the offseason anyway. And, you know, I think he's very comfortable out there. I think this team and Matthew Stafford is going to be there for the foreseeable future. I think that's the stability that he's looking for. You know, he hasn't really been in a stable environment since his first few years in New York. So I think this is bigger than just 1 year. I think he really took his time with this decision. And I think it's one that's ultimately going to pay off, you know, because
it's a great point.
Sean McVay has the ability to get guys involved in the offense, different guys. And Odell, regardless of what the media may say, he's not a selfish teammate. So if you're in an environment where you're able to win, where you feel like you're involved, like, he's going to have that opportunity there. And I don't think it's a situation where you feel like, oh, well, if he doesn't get five targets a game, he's going to complain. That's not going to be the case. To be honest, Odell hasn't said a word all year, right? The media has rolled with everything else. So I think it's a great fit for him. I think he's going to play extremely well.
Damn media.
I think this is something where it could turn into a 2-3-year deal after this season.
Torrey, I want to ask you this. You have you started your nonprofit called Level 82 Fund. Why don't you give me a little insight on it so I can possibly get involved?
Yeah, you know, we had we started an organization some years ago and changed the name up. But when I retired, we decided to do a little more than just, you know, events for the day, back to schools. We had an after school program at one point, but we really wanted to try to focus on trying to change the community beyond just the one student. So we decided the best way to do it was to have some type of community center or partner with someone to have a rec center, which is what happened. We partnered with Baltimore Rec and Parks, and we run Hilton Rec Center over in West Baltimore. So now we're able to impact that child's siblings, that child's parents, and really kind of feed the entire community in hopes that, you know, we can help make Baltimore City a better place, you know, one person, one family, and one neighborhood at a time.
That is Torrey Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you, Torrey. Thanks for jumping on.
Well,
that was
all right, T.
That opened my eyes just then, Key.
Yeah.
That's a football decision. It's just not a football decision just for the rest of this season because uncertainty in Green Bay.
Well, we didn't touch it. I think you might have mentioned it, or somebody mentioned it, touched up on it a little bit, but it's clearly, he's in Los Angeles a lot. This is who he is. That's why I always said when people were talking about New England, I said you cannot change who he is by sending him to New England in Milwaukee. I get it. I understand Green Bay, great quarterback situation, but one personality does not want to go there. And his personality is more LA. You get the best out of him when he's extremely motivated and happy all the way around. And what's going to make him more happy? Winning games and being able to go home into the sunshine and lay in his backyard and relax and chill.
Especially when you know the quarterback's going to be there. You don't know that about Green Bay. That was Torrey Smith on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear. College football's heating up. The Goodyear, and Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward. Whether your team's home or away, the traditions that bring us together are still the same. That's the road that moves us. Goodyear, more driven. The best quarterback in the AFC West is playing on Sunday Night Football. But Key says he'll be facing Patrick Mahomes. You got to hear his reasons.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Just me and Key hanging out today. So Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Raiders. And, Key, the best quarterback in the AFC West right now will be on the field. Is that Patrick Mahomes?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now?
Right now.
No. No, not right now. Right now, he might be the third best quarterback in the division right today. And that's okay. Doesn't mean he won't be tomorrow number one again. But I would say Justin Herbert and Derek Carr are slightly above him based on the way that that Chiefs offense, in particular Patrick Mahomes, has looked this season.
He scuffled. I mean, I'll say this.
This season,
get the rationale.
Look, I'm not saying, Max, that if they was in a room and they said pick one, that I wouldn't pick him.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about I can separate the MVP Super Bowl years from this year.
I can't do it.
You have to.
Look, I'll tell you this. You have Derek Carr in the first bucket, more or less.
Second bucket trying to climb into the first
right,
bucket.
Right. See, that's if I had to talk about the not the different guys, and I consider Herbert one of the different guys, right? Or at least he's trending there fast. He had the best rookie camp. Honestly, I'm trying to think of the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen because it may have been him. He was had a no offensive line. He was under pressure all the time. He got rid of the ball so fast, throwing lasers all over the
field. There was a guy named
field.
Dan Marino was pretty good.
Marino was insane.
There's another guy named John Elway that was pretty good.
Yeah, but that's when I think of Herbert's rookie year, I think of those guys. Like, that's why he was being compared to Marino.
I'm trying to think who else was good.
I'm just saying, I see Carr, when you talk about Bridgewater, that's a starting quarterback. I see Carr and Bridgewater, if they're not...
No,
Carr, to me, Carr is at the front line of that bucket, and Bridgewater's in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I don't think Herbert's in that bucket. I have Herbert in the other one.
Yes, he ain't there yet.
Now, maybe not yet, but I think he's going to be there soon already.
He's in the other bucket with them. He had a fabulous rookie season.
Oh.
This year's been okay.
Yeah.
This year's been okay. It's nothing to write home about.
Yeah, he's not better than he was last year.
It's not a sophomore slump, but it's not a, oh, my God, they should lock him up right now for the next 10-year type deal.
I'll trade you Daniel Jones for him right now. And I like Daniel Jones.
Of course you would.
Yeah. And I like, by the way, I would trade the entire Giants team right now. Do you think I'm lying? I'll start with nothing. I'll give you my coach everything. I just want to start with Justin Herbert.
But Daniel Jones has been okay.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that is I don't know if it's who's teaching him. Like, I don't know if he had a better teacher, would he be better? If I put Daniel Jones with Sean Payton in the New Orleans Saints.
He'd be better.
Would he be better?
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
But for me, if you can find it, this is how much I think of Justin Herbert. If you can find a Justin Herbert, I'll start with nothing. No coach, no team, just Justin Herbert, right?
Got to coach him up, though.
Yeah, I'll ask my man Keyshawn, yo, Key, what's the best coach I can go get right now? All that, staff, the whole thing. And I'll just, you know, use draft picks on best available players, sign some veterans, get some guys off practice squads. I would rather start a team like that than my New York football Giants. If I could get a quarterback like Justin Herbert, I feel the same way about Mahomes. Derek Carr is good. He's better than I thought he was like a couple of years ago when it looked like he was going backwards. I don't think of him like that.
But it never looked like he was going backwards though, Max.
Well, to me it did.
The team, pull up his numbers. It's just we do like to talk about numbers.
Yeah.
All you got to do is look at his numbers.
His offensive line went from really good to not so good, and then he didn't look so good.
That's not his fault.
Yeah, right.
You took his main target in Amari Cooper and shipped him off. You had him playing with beast mode at 60 years old in the running back spot. Like, you didn't help him help himself. You kind of deflated his ability to be successful when you blew up the whole yard.
You know what else? It's a full contact sport. Key. Eli Manning was one of the toughest athletes I ever seen in my life. But I saw seasons late in his career where I thought he quit on the season in this sense. He was going to be there for all the snaps. He's going to take hits. But he was thinking, I am not going to get myself killed behind these bums on my offensive line, right? And to me, when that's the same people, like people say, oh, he quit on the team or he quit on the season.
Yeah.
It's strongly worded for such a tough guy and a champion like Eli. I thought I saw. And Derek Carr wanted to fight me in the octagon after I said this, but this is what I thought I saw. I thought I saw the same thing from Carr when the offensive line fell apart. I thought I saw, like, this dude ain't trying to get killed behind this offensive line.
Well, see, what happens is you, even though you're in the sports journalism business, you start looking at stuff as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you say things like a fan would say. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he's ducking in. Yeah. But you have to not just look at him. You got to look at everything.
Yeah.
as a whole, right? Yeah. And once you look at everything as a whole, then you can form your opinion and say, well, he's pretty, you know, if the offensive line was good and he was bad, that's a different situation.
I agree.
You know, you're like, well, it's a different situation.
I even thought that at the time. Yeah. I mean, I even thought that at the time. But like you just said, it's so interdependent. If you put a young quarterback who seems to be on his way up in a bad situation for 2-3 years, some dudes never recover from that.
Yeah, but he always have been a solid quarterback and really good to me all the way from Fresno State. I watched him with the Raiders in Oakland when he was an MVP candidate until he got hurt.
Yeah.
If he goes to Houston, Deshaun Watson and them don't beat the Raiders. The Raiders lost steam. Man, in fact, the Raiders wouldn't have had to go on the road. They lost steam when they lost him, and they went out there with like Matt McGloin or something like that playing quarterback. So you start to look at that. But then for him, you get John Gruden coming in and not endorsing him or giving him any flowers. He's not saying anything. So the first thing people think is because Gruden's supposed to be this magical quarterback wizard, he must not be that good.
I will say, at one point in Carr's career, I thought of the young ascending quarterbacks, outside of maybe Andrew Luck, the guy I would want long-term, at one point I was thinking, it might be Derek Carr. But that lasted for me about half a season. And then I was like, I don't know.
I don't know if you've been working with us or not, or you were doing First Take or your own radio or whatever, or every other show you did. But I said to Evan, at the beginning of all this, I said, man, Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr's first 7 seasons
similar
are the same. Mm. I don't even need to pull up the numbers. This is eyeball test.
Yeah,
you're crazy. It's the same.
Yeah,
it's all about how we build something
brand
up
them
and put the yeast on it.
Yeah.
If I want to make somebody more than what they are or less than what they are,
you can do that.
We can do that all day long, and that's what people do. They get latched onto something, and the first thing they say is, oh, my God, he's out of control. He's a this, he's a that. And people go with it.
And it's also, we're trying to evaluate a moving target. Like, as the evidence comes in, we're trying to fit it into a framework that we understand. So, like, I look at Justin Herbert, and I think his floor is Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, like, the next thing to the really elite guys, right? But I think because he's young, if I see that as his floor, I see his ceiling as higher.
Which you are right. But the problem is you want to put a ceiling up there.
Yeah, I want to do it now.
You can't do that.
I want the ceiling to be here. No. I want to see the high side now.
The worst he's going to be is a starting quarterback in the NFL that's really good for a long time.
Right.
And the best he's going to be is a multiple MVP type guy. Now, I don't know if that'll ever happen in the Chargers uniform or whatever the case may be. We'll see.
I think it's human nature to split the difference and go, all right, even if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, he's going to be better than these dudes because to me, he's already there and he's only in his second year. But you're right. Like, let's see him stay healthy. Let's see him keep improving. Let not go backwards. All that. Can one team bounce back with a revenge win for one of their coaches?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think everybody's in the handsome category. I don't think anybody's ugly.
I'm not handsome.
Come on, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm good with it, though. Let's not even talk about it anymore.
Bart, again, I can't think of one person. And it's not because, I don't want to single them out. We go after each other here.
Max is handsome.
Yes, very.
Jay Will is handsome.
Yeah, that whole show is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Good for a radio show that they have looks.
Michael Kay and Don LaGreca on the Michael Kay Show.
Yeah, they didn't mention me, though.
Well, they said a handsome show.
Yeah, but still, I felt like my name should have been mentioned.
I used to see those guys every day. We used to be on each other's shows all the time in New York radio back in the day, so they've seen me up close, and I can just tell you, even the closer you look, the more handsome I get.
Yeah, I don't ever want to have a radio face.
Yeah, that's a face made for radio.
No. I know a few people in this business that certainly have faces for radio.
Now, let me tell you something. If you take care of yourself, when I was a kid, I was an okay looking kid. But the older I get, because the standards go down, if I just keep myself in decent shape, I keep my hair, I'm considered better and better looking as I get older. Because for when I was, 25, okay, he's all right. At 48, they go, oh, look, he's 48. Oh, good looking guy. I love it. I love this aging thing. Except for my back. That part's not so good. Cowboys.
Get a better bit.
Huh?
Get a better bit.
Oh, man. There's nothing. I got to do Pilates 3 days a week. The Cowboys are looking to bounce back against the Falcons on Sunday, Key. They're not going to have Randy Gregory. And Mike McCarthy said yesterday that will have a big impact. Listen. I promise McCarthy said it.
I think it was probably one of our best players, or clearly make the argument to probably one of our best players on defense. So yeah, it's very disruptive. Our team and our defensive players feed off of his activity, and yeah, definitely feel. I mean, he's having a heck of a year, but he's back in there this morning, and he'll attack the rehab just like he has attacked everything else.
Key, like the Cowboys' defense. Quiet is kept is really the difference. Is like they had an offense, they had a defense this year. If this is going to have a big impact, and their defense, they gave up 30, forget about the fact they didn't score for a second, what's this going to mean for them?
It hurts. DeMarcus Lawrence is out. When you got that issue with him, now all of a sudden you look up and you got this issue. You don't want to continue to keep piling up injuries on units where you don't necessarily have the depth. And that's going to be a big issue coming down the stretch, some of the teams that they're going to have to face and play.
Yeah, Micah Parsons has been a godsend for them. He's official. And Trayvon Diggs was really good, but you warned me early, like when it looked like, oh, my God, look at this guy. It's like, hold on, give it time. He's good. Let's see how good he is. And they have not stopped, going to the guy he's covering. And he's good, and sometimes he does get burnt.
Yeah, because he's peeking and sneaking and peeking and looking in the backfield. He's doing something that defensive coordinators and defensive back coaches, they don't want their DBs doing. When you start looking in the backfield and getting nosy because you've had some success at interceptions, eventually that's put on film. And the littlest thing that you don't see, Max, we see in study habits. And what we're watching, we might not even be watching his eyes. We might just be watching the difference in him slowing down from point one to point A to point B, just a little bit enough to tell us, we can double move him right here. Oh, we can double move him at 10 yards. Look what he's doing at 10 yards. Well, every time he gets to 10 yards, he does this. And if we do that, he going to bite. And you see it,
works.
Put it in, and it's whoom. That's one thing the rat going to do is he going to go for the cheese every single time.
Right. So
every single time.
So that's why. Like in the NBA, in basketball, guys who jump passing lanes, you can come away with a steal, but it can weaken you as a defender if that's you're kind of like cheating, right?
Yeah. We study so much film and tendencies on guys that we know what you're getting ready to do. Like I could tell you exactly what this dude is getting ready to do. If I sit up and I watch five games in cutups of that particular team and player, I could tell you everything he's going to do because his tendencies aren't going to change.
So speaking of the Cowboys defense, defensive coordinator Dan Quinn coaches against his former team Sunday. Can the Cowboys, Key, bounce back against a hot Falcons team?
I think they can. Atlanta's pretty good, though, and they're not a bad team. They're sitting, I think, in the seventh seed right now in the NFC, so they're still trying to make the playoffs. Matt Ryan has certainly had a rebirth. Kyle Pitts has certainly replaced Julio Jones in terms of the numbers and helping this team put some points on the board, although he hasn't scored but one touchdown, but he's moving the chains from the 20 to the 20. This is a different team right now, but the Cowboys are a better football team than them. They have more talent than them, so they should be able to bounce back.
Yeah, looking at the Falcons, the actual wins, they beat the Saints without a quarterback by 2 points. It was on the road, though, but still divisional. They lost to the Panthers at home. I'm going reverse chronological order, so backwards. They beat the Dolphins by 2. This is under a field goal, their wins against the teams that, I mean, the Saints are a good team, but they don't have a quarterback. And the Dolphins have gotten better recently, but it's not a great team. And they beat the Jets by a touchdown. That's not, they're hot, but partly that's they're not playing the strongest schedule. The Cowboys are an actual good team. Like, whatever records say at any given point, I look at some teams, Cardinals, Packers, Bucks, Rams, those are actually good teams. That's not smoke and mirrors, right?
Yeah, no, those are good teams. I wouldn't call it smoke. Put it this way. Every team in the NFL is good, even the Jaguars.
Yeah, yeah.
Just ask the
relatively,
Bills. Right?
Relatively.
It's a situation that you are hitting the right team at the right time in the right matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you start to look at the Atlanta Falcons against the Dallas Cowboys are the better team, so it might be the right matchup going up against Atlanta.
Yeah, and Dak, you know, is going to be looking to get right. Okay, Greeny is next. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max will be back Monday morning, as always. But this is ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers, download the podcast. Greeny coming up. Talk to you after the weekend. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.